So we wanted to do Chazara, we're going to try and do it in one shot. Be'ez Hashem at Aflamet, Ches on the base. This is, I guess, the last day of Zman. The last Shir of Zman, sorry. Quite right. We're in the middle of Zman. But the last Shir of this Zman. Says the Gemara, Va'al HaYerokos Oime. This is the fifth line on the Aflamet Ches on the base. Ketoni yirokois dumya de pas. Yirokois vegetables are mentioned in close proximity to pas, and therefore the assumption is that they are comparable. How so? Ma pas shenishtane alidei ha'oir. Just like lechem, which changes when you put it in the fire, and yet the brocha is amoitzi lechem in aretz, af yirokois Nami shenishtanu alidei ha'oir, even if you cook them or heat them up in some way, but the rebrocha remains whatever it is. And this is going to be now our discussion. Omer avnoi mishmei da'abai, so it sounds like, that's what you're telling me, zoysoi meres shlokois mevorchen aleim borer pri ha'domo. That's in effect what you're telling me. You're telling me that there is a comparison between bread and vegetables. In what way? Just that when you heat up bread, the brocha isn't downgraded in any way, so too when you heat up vegetables, the bracha is retained. And if it's retained, in other words, it remains borer pri ha'adama, and this is the rule, that shlokos are borer pri ha'adama. So we saw there's different mahalchim. Dorash Rav Chista Mishum Rabbeinu Umanu Rav. Who is that Rav? So Rav Chista, remember we have two droshes over here. There was Rav Chista's droshes, and we have another drosha coming up in the name of Rav Nachman. But this is Rav Chista. Shlokos mevorchin aleim borer pri ha'adama. The bracha on shlokos is indeed borer pri ha'adama. Now he continued his drosha, and he pointed out, and he said, "V'rabbeinu hayerdin meretz Yisrael, but our rabbonim who descended from Eretz Yisrael, umanu, and who are they? Who am I referring to specifically? It's Ula mishmei de Rabbi Yechanan." He said that no, Omar shlokos mevorchin aleim shehakol nieh bedvaroi. Cooked vegetables do not have the bracha of borer pri ha'adama, but rather shakol nieh bedvaroi. It seems to be a machlokes. Va'ani oimer, says Rav Chista, I would say, in order to reconcile these two opinions, I would actually suggest that there's no machlokes at all. Why? I would say that it very much depends. Kol shetchilosoir borer pri ha'adama. If we're dealing with a vegetable that began as boire priyo adomo, sholkoi, you then cooked it up, shakol nieh bedvaroi, the bracha is downgraded. But the other way around, v'chol shetchilosoi shakol nieh bedvaroi, if it began its life as shakol nieh bedvaroi, then to the contrary, sholkoi, then it goes up, not down, to boire priyo adomo. Now what is that? In other words, there seems to be two types of vegetables. There is a type of vegetable that is upgraded, there's a type of vegetable that's downgraded. It all depends on what?
On the direction.
On what actually happens. So when you cook it, does it improve it or does it worsen it? So the Gemara says, Bishle makol shetchilosei shakol nieh bedvaroi. I know what you're referring to. When you said that there's a type of vegetable that begins as shakol nieh bedvaroi, what is that? And you said sholkoi borer pri ha'adama mishkach aslo. That's easy to find. Karva salka v'kro. Those are all examples of vegetables that, when you start off, they are not as good as when you cook them. So for the cooking is an upgrade. And if the cooking is an upgrade, then the brocha is also an upgrade from shahakoil to borer pri ha'adama. So that direction going up, we understand. What about the other way around? Elo, your second statement, quote unquote, Kol shetchilosei borer pri ha'adama sholkoi shehakol, quote unquote, heichi mishkachas lo. How do you find that? Give me an example of something that perhaps not so obvious of vegetables that are downgraded when you cook them. Omar of Nachman by Yitzhak, yes, I can find that as well. Mishkachas lo, but tumi v'karati. So tumi v'karati are examples, apparently, of vegetables that, when you cook them, they are not upgraded. To the contrary, they are downgraded. They taste, or they are in better quality, better shape, when you leave them raw. When you cook, then the bracha is downgraded. That was the end of the first drasha. So Rav Chista's drasha is that there are two different opinions, but that in fact there's no machlokas whatsoever. As opposed to the next drasha, Dorash Rav Nachman Mishum Rabbeinu. Rav Nachman said, in the name of Rabbeinu, who is that? Umanu, this is now Shmuel. Shlokos Mvorchim Alein Bar Prihodoma. The Chavireinu, we didn't call them Rabbi Seinu, we called them Chavireinu, our friends. Hayar Dim Eretz Yisrael. Umanu, who is that? Ula again, Mishmei Derbi Echanon. Omar Shlokos Mvorchim Alein Shahakol Nibidvorin. So again, two different opinions. Now, Rav Chista proceeded to say that what? That the two opinions are actually not arguing with each other. But Rav Nachman didn't learn that way. Va'ani Omar, says Rav Nachman, I say that b'machloikas shenuyo. This is the subject of machloikas, and there's no point trying to reconcile the two opinions as if to say there's no machloikas, because actually the jolly well is a machloikas. Titanium. Because we have a braisa. Yoitzin berakik hasharui ubemavushal shaloni muach. One can be yoitza. Yoitza what? The mitzvah of matzah. One can be yoitza, the mitzvah of matzah, with a rakik, which is a matzah, which is shari, which is soaked in water, ubemavushal shaloni muach, as long as it hasn't completely crumbled and dissolved. Divrei Rav Meir. You cannot be yotze with cooked. So we have two opinions over here, and this is obviously definitely a machloikas, and it's a machloikas tanoim. And what is the machloikas tanoim? What happens to bread after you cook it? One opinion says nothing happens to it at all. You can still be yotze the mitzvah of matzah. And the other opinion says you cannot be yotze the mitzvah of matzah. So it seems to be quite clear that what?
It's
a so we have a machlokas, two opinions, what happens to a food when you cook it? Is it downgraded or not? Therefore, says Rav Nachman, instead of saying the first two opinions that we mentioned before and not arguing with each other, they seem to be very much arguing with each other. In fact, they're arguing the same machlokas as this machlokas tanoim. Says the Gemara of Elohi, it's not true. It's an unfair comparison. Why? The Kula Alma, I could quite frankly tell you that Shlokos, everybody agrees that Shlokos Mevorchen Aleim Bore Pri Adomo. So why then did Rabbi Yossi say when it comes to Matzah, you can't be Yotze with Mevushal? The Adkan Leikoma Rabbi Yossi Hossam, the only reason why Rabbi Yossi said his opinion there is Ele Mishum Debe Inon Ta'am Matzah Veleka. There is a private local svara that tells us that in order to be yotze the mitzvah of matzah, it actually has to have not only the context, the texture of matzah, but it also has to have the taste of matzah. Avol hocha, afilu Rabbi Yossi Moide. Might well be that Rabbi Yossi is the first one to admit that shlokos is indeed a bracha of boirei pri ha'adama. It's not considered a downgrade at all. The reason why bread is different is simply for mitziyastika reasons, that when you cook up bread, it doesn't have the taste of bread anymore. When it comes to matzah, there is an additional requirement. Not only does it have to actually be matzah, but it also has the taste of matzah, and you've lost that halacha. You have no proof as to whether it changes status. Maybe it doesn't change status, but at the end of the day, it doesn't taste of matzah. Okay, so we have two drashas over here. The drasha of Rav Chista, who tried to reconcile the opinions. The drasha of Rav Nachman, who absolutely did not reconcile the opinions. So the Gemara keeps on discussing it. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Chia ba'aba Omer Rabbi Yechanan. Again, we have a discussion about what did Rabbi Yechanan actually say. Shlaka is mevorchen alein boir priwa domo. For Rabbi Yomin by Yefes Omar, Rabbi Yochanan. He also expressed an opinion, not his own opinion, but rather, what did Rabbi Yochanan hold? That Shloka is Bevorach Malay and Shahakal Nia Bidvari. Omar Rabbi Nachman by Yitzchok. So Rabbi Nachman by Yitzchok spoke very sharply. Kova Ula. We mentioned Ula before. Ula was the one who said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Shlokos is Shahakel Nibidvarit. That means he's following whose version of Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes' version. So Rabbi Nachman gets very upset. Kova Ula Leshabeshte. Is he establishing his mistake? Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes? That's the opinion that you're following. Tohi Bar Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira was astounded. Chima Inyan Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes. It's Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. What connection do the two have? How can you even put them in the same sentence? Why not? Because Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Dayik V'Gomir Shmaitzei. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi, because he was very particular, Rabbi Chia was very particular to be medayik. Everything he heard in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So what he says in the name of the Rebbe, you could be rest assured, is an accurate reflection of what he really held. But Rabbi Yochanan Bayefes, loydayik. He was known apparently not to be so accurate. And therefore, if we've got these two opinions as to what did Rabbi Yochanan hold, obviously I'm not going to go with Rabbi Yamin's version. I'm surely going to go with Rabbi Chia Bar Abba's version. That's number one. Number two, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba kol tlos in yomim. Every 30 days, Mahadir Talmudo. He would go over his learning. Kameid Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi in front of his Rabbi Yochanan his Rabbi. But Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes would not review his learning. And therefore, again, you can't really compare the two as if to say they're on the same level, Bechlal. Void Bar Min Dain, besides for all of that, Ubar Min Dain. Why is Bar Min Dain repeated twice?
Two reasons.
Because we've already given two reasons why we would ignore the opinion of Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes. The Gemara says, Bar Min Dain, or Bar Min Dain, besides for this and besides for that, what really caps it off is Tahu Turmasa. There was this vegetable, the Shol Kalei, Sheva Zimnin Bekedera, that was cooked seven times in the pot, V'ochlilei Bekuuna Bekinuach Suda. And it was eaten as a dessert in a Suda. Also, v'shalul Rabbi Yochanan, they came to Rabbi Yochanan. Now, we're trying to work out what Rabbi Yochanan holds. This story might help us. And guess what? Even though this turmas had been cooked no less than seven times, he said, Borei Pri Adama. So, game, set, and match. What's the discussion, Bechlal? What's the discussion, Bechlal? Not only are the opinions of Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Bechlal not comparable at all, because Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes doesn't get a look in when you have Rabbi Chia Bar Abba opposing him. But furthermore, we actually have a story in which Rabbi Yochanan Paskin Aloch Alamaisa Turmasim cooked seven times, Bar Pri Adama. So what's the discussion? Game over. V'oi, now a fourth Taina, Omer Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Aniro Isi Es Rabbi Yochanan. I once saw Rabbi Yochanan. I once saw him take a salted, remember we said salted is like cooking. That's the bottom Rashi and Tosfos. Zayis Meliach, I saw him took the cooked olive or salted olive, and he made a bracha both before and after. Now, what does that mean? Which bracha did he make? Iomrat bishloima, if you're going to tell me that would all be fine, shlokos bemilsai hukaimi. That shloka is retain their status, and Borei Pri Adama is the first bracha. And it's not downgraded in any way. Or in this case, it would be ho'eid, so I understand. B'tchilim avarech alav Borei Pri ho'eid, so the b'sleif avarech alav, bracha achas mein shalosh, because it was a fruit and retains status as fruit. But if you tell me that shloka is lav b'molsei ukaim, but if you take that shlokos do not retain their original status, rather what? They are downgraded from Borei Pri Adama to Shakal Nevidvaroi. So what did he actually make? Which brachas did he make on the salted olive? Vishloima betchila mavarech alav Shakal Nevidvaroi, that I can understand. Ela lo besoif my mevarech. What bracha did he make afterwards? The answer is, the Gemara says, that's not a proof to the Borei Nefashos Rabbis. The Chesroin al Kol Masher Bara. So maybe that fourth proof is not as strong as the others. The Gemara, for some reason, thought that if you say Ha'adoma in the beginning, that there is no after bracha. And if there is no after bracha, so that if we don't really understand the story, how can you say that he made a bracha before and after? The Gemara says, no, that proof is easily refutable. He made Ha'adoma in theory in the beginning, and he made and then at the end, he said, Borei Nefashos, so that wouldn't be a proof. Says the Gemara Masiv Rav Yitzhak Bar Shmuel. Now we're a little bit going off the subject for a while. Yeraka is Sha'odom Yaitse Bohem Yedei Chayvase BePesach. Any vegetable with which you could be Yaitse, your obligation on Pesach. What does that mean? Obligation for what?
Tomorrow.
For Moroir, you should know, Yoitse Bohen. You could be Yoitse both with them, meaning the actual vegetable, Ubekelach Shalahan, and so too with their stalks, Avaloi Kvushin, Veloi Shlokin, Veloi Mavusholin. Rashi says those are varying degrees of cooking. So what does that seem to suggest? That once you cook the vegetable, what happens to it?
Downgrade.
It's downgraded. It's no longer considered a vegetable. So how can you tell me that what? You just now brought me 2, 3, maybe 4 proofs. The Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that shlokos is bari pri adoma or bari pri eitz, and the bracha is not downgraded. But it says with regard to moro that it is downgraded. It says you can't be yoitz of the mitzvah anymore. You have to take plain moroi and not cooked moroi. Says the Gemara, V'yisal kadatach, if you're going to tell me that b'milsai hu koi, comma, if you're going to tell me that it retains its original status, then shlukin amai loi, question mark. So why can't it be yaitza the mitzvah of moroi with shlukin, with cooked vegetables? Says the Gemara, Shani Osam, there is different, very similar to what we said before with regard to matzah, deboinon tam moroir veleka. Because we require the tam of moroir and there isn't. So again, this is the second time we've bumped into this type of logic in which we say that even if the vegetable or the bread or the fruit does retain its original status, and nobody disputes that, and therefore with regard to the bracha there's been no change, but nonetheless, if it's lost its taste, then that might be a separate issue for any halacha that requires that it retains the original taste. In other words, we're distinguishing between status and taste. With regard to status, it may well be that when you cook something up, it does not downgrade its status with regard to bread, vegetables, and fruit. But if the halacha requires that besides having the status, it also needs a particular taste, that's an altogether different discussion. When it comes to brachas, we're not interested in the taste, we're interested in status. But with regard to matzah, you have to have tam matzah. With regard to moro, obviously you have to have tam moro. If it doesn't taste bitter, what's the point of having it? Okay, so we veer off a little bit from the story. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rabbi Zeira, one second, just going back to the story we mentioned before, we said he had a zayis meliach and he made a bracha on it. Rabbi Yochanan, heichi mevarech al zayis meliach. How did he actually make a bracha on the salted olive? Why, what's the problem? Kevin the shkila legarine, seeing as he removed the pit, and obviously he did, he's hardly going to eat the pit when he eats the olives. It turns out that botzir le shiure, so it's no longer now a shir. So if you remember, we said last time it's a chiddush. That means the Gemara is assuming that whenever we talk about a shir kazayis, that actually includes the volume of the pit. Such that when you actually have a real olive and you take out the pits, you don't have a kazayis anymore. That's what you see from the Gemara. Why is that a chiddush? Because in theory, you could have suggested that when we talk about a shir kazayis, we actually mean the zayis, the flesh of the fruit, with a pit having been taken out. So, what's the question, Bichlal? But I see in the Gemara not that way. I see from the Gemara that the shir incorporates the pit, and if it incorporates the pit, therefore what?
You lost the shir.
So you've lost the shir, and that's the Gemara's shaila. That's the Gemara's shaila. Oh, Malay. So he answered back and said, it's not a problem. Me sovereign, did you really think that kazayis godoil bo'inon? You don't need the largest kazayis. What do you need? Kazayis beinani bo'inon. You only need an average size kazayis. V'ahu da'aisi lekameh Rabbi Yochanan. And the one they brought in front of Rabbi Yochanan was Azayis Godel, such that Da'af al Gav de Shakluhu le Gari Nuse, such that it was so large that even when you remove the pit, posh lay, there remains for it Shi'uro. The Tanan, because of a Mishnah that says that Zayis Sha'omru, the Zayis that Chazal spoke about, Loi Koton v'Loi Godel, Elo Beinani. Therefore, you don't need a full sized or extra large olive. You need an average size olive, pit included. If that's the case, that when you have a large olive, pit not included, that is exactly the same amount, or maybe even more, but it's at least the same amount as an average size olive with a pit. And that's what Chazal say. You never required a large one. Loi katan v'loi gadol, not small, not big, ela beinani. V'zehu oguri. What does oguri mean? Rashi says the shemen is, or the Gemara says, V'amor above all, loy aguri shmoy, el avruti shmoy, v'amor loy samrusi shmoy, v'loma nikra shmoy aguri. Why indeed is it called aguri? Aguri means trapped or stored. Sheshamnoi ogur b'seichoy. Because the shemen is trapped inside of it. Fine. So we're learning over here a very, very important halacha, that whenever we talk about kazayis, which kazayis are we talking about? Not the large, not the small, medium-sized. Such that if I have a large kazayis and I take out the pit, it will still be large enough, even pitless, to be the equivalent volume of an average-sized kazayis with a pit. Says the Gemara, Neima Ketanoi. It's like we always point out, whenever you have a Neima, it means let us suggest, but at some stage the Gemara is clearly going to reject it. With having a whole discussion, what is the story with shlokis? Downgraded, upgraded, retain the stain, what's the halachas? The Gemara says, maybe we can suggest that actually it's machlokes tanoim. Which tanoim? Well, based on a story. Dahanu, Trey, Talmidi, there were these two Talmidim, Dava Yosvi, Kamei, they were sitting in front of the Bar Kapora. Heviu, Lefonov, they brought in front of him. Who's in front of him? Bar Kapora. Kruv, durmaskin, upargiois. Now, kruv we know is a vegetable. Pargiois, Rashi says, is bosor oif, plus durmaskin. Now, remember we saw a Rashi, a difficult Rashi, with Rebbe Kiveiga. Rashi says that basically durmaskin is shlokis. Some suggested it's prunes. Rashi says it can't be. He brought a very difficult raya. Rebbe Kiveiga didn't like it or didn't understand it. But either way, Rashi says that durmaskin is shlokis. So what do we have on the table over here? We have a kruv, durmaskin, and also some meat. Nosam bar kapora rishus le'echod me'em levorich. So bar kapora gave permission for one of them to lead the brachas, kofatz ubirich ala pargiyois. So one of them jumped in, and would you believe it? He made a bracha on the meat, which is shahakol. Ligle Golov Chaveiros, so his friend started mocking him. Koas Bar Kapora, and he said, Omar, Loy Alam Avorech Anikoyes, Elo Alam Alagle Ganikoyes. I'm not so angry with the one who made the bracha, the mevarech. Rather, I'm angry with the one who mocked him. Why? Im chaveircha. If your friend Doima considers kemishaloi tam tam basar meolam, ato al malig lagta olav. I can fully well rationalize the behavior of the mevarech. And what will I say? He's so excited to have meat, it's as if he's never tasted meat for years or forever, and therefore it becomes chaviv. So for even though you have other vegetables there, but if you have chaviv there, so this Talmud obviously considered that chaviv wins the day. So why are you mocking him? Then, however, he turned around and he said, Chozar v'omar, he said, Loyal amalag li ganikos. I'm not actually so angry with the one who mocked Elon Mavorich and Ikris. Why is he upset with Mavorich? Vomarim chochmo in kan, zikne in kan. If there's no wisdom, that might be true. Maybe I can't be considered a Talmud Chochem, but zikno? I don't have life's experience. What do you mean by that? As Rashi explained, why didn't he... Why didn't he ask him? In some of our most difficult moments in history, Mefarshim point out this is always the source of the problem. For example, when Yosef got sold to Mitzrayim and all of that that was caused as a result of that story, many point out that the Shvatim who sold him for all the valid kavonos that they clearly must have had, but they didn't consult with anybody. Why didn't they first ask Yaakov Avinu? Chazal say that they assembled a Bezdin, and they decided that he has to be killed for whatever reason. Why didn't they consult with Yaakov Avinu? Or when it came to the Avera of the Cheto Egel, before they decided, again, maybe for all the valid reasons in the world, they just informed Aaron HaKohen, this is what we're doing. And in the end, Chazal tell us, they didn't even inform him, they just did it. They threw it into the fire themselves. Why didn't they consult with him first? When it came to the Meraglim, they didn't consult with Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't ask Moshe Rabbeinu, is this a good idea? So therefore, this has always been the story of our history. That we have to consult with our elders, consult with our Rabbeim. That's the way that we decide how to proceed in Avodas Hashem, by looking back at the previous Doiris, by looking back at Talmidei Chachamim, who after all will tell us whatever their Rebbeim said. And what their Rebbeim said is based on what their Rebbeim said, etc., etc., etc. You know, it occurred to me this year, while I was looking through the Kinois, one of the most dramatic, one of the most, maybe the most, heart-wrenching kina of all the kinois on Tisha B'Av morning, have a look out for it, is the kina that talks about the terrible, terrible tragedies, the state that Klal Yisrael fell to. It says there were mothers who were literally cooking their own children and eating them, etc., etc., etc. If you look in that kina, which talks again in very, very graphic details about terrible, terrible tsaros, it was pointed out, this I didn't notice, but I heard somebody point it out, that a lot of the tsaros are talking about children. A lot of the tsaros are referring to children. This happened to children. It talks about young babies unable to nurse from their mother and dying of starvation. Terrible, terrible things, but all with regard to children. Look out in that kina on Tisha B'Av morning, you'll see it talks about that a lot. Now, if you look in Chazal tell us that these Oinshim specifically befell Klal Yisrael because they killed Zachariah Hanovi. It was also a Kohen Gadol, I think it was Zachariah, if I'm not mistaken. Terrible story, they killed him on Yom Kippur in the Beis Hamikdash. He came to prophesy to them and told them, listen, this is what's going to happen, and they killed him. And the question is asked, why is that Midah Keneged Midah? They killed out the great leader of Klal Yisrael, the Novi and the Kohen Gadol, as a result of which their children suffered. Why is that Midah Keneged Midah? So, it occurred to me this year that maybe the pshat is because we view our children, obviously, as our continuation, as our hemshech. They really ensure, as it were, eternity to the parents and to the grandparents. Rachmona Litzlan, somebody doesn't have children, and that's the end of the line. But the children are really the continuation, the hemshech of the person who gave birth to them. So the midah keneged midah is that we have to understand that our leaders and our gedolim are also what ensure our hemshech as well. We're not self-made Torah entrepreneurs. Everything we learn, we're learning what the previous Dori taught us, and what the previous Dori taught us is what they learned from the Dori before them, and from their Rebbe and their Rebbe. And that's always been, and that will always be, the Maseiras HaTorah. So when we turn to our Rebbeim to help us, it's not just because they're more knowledgeable than us, but rather because they are the ones who are connected to the Rebbeim who preceded them, who are connected to the Rebbeim who preceded them, etc., etc. And that's the way that we conduct ourselves, always with Maseiras. And as we know, that's the opening Mishnah, and obviously Moshe Kibbul Torah Misinai, Sarah Yeshua, etc., etc. Why must we know that? It's all very nice, interesting history. It's not relevant to me. The answer is, it is relevant to me. Because the Mishnah is teaching me, and the Rambam, by the way, goes into great detail, and he calculates all the whole Maseiras HaTorah, all the way from Moshe Rabbeinu right down to the Tanoim and Amoraim in the Gemara. I once saw, have you heard of the Rosh Hashiva in Yerushalayim? Actually, you know my cousin Azapine? He learned in a yeshiva called Medrash Shmuel. The Rosh Hashiva is Reb Binyamin Moskovich, originally from England, actually. And he is a Talmud, he learned in Ponovich, like many did, and he's a Talmud of the great Ponovich Rosh Hashiva, Reb Shmuel Rozovsky. So I once saw that yeshiva Medrash Shmuel put out like a whole flowchart. They tracked down, and the bottom line was obviously Reb Binyamin Moskovich. Above that, Shmuel Rozovsky. Shmuel Rozovsky was a Talmud of, I think, Reb Shimon Shkop. Reb Shimon Shkop was a Talmud of Reb Chaim Briska. Reb Chaim Briska was a Talmud, and it went back all the way, would you believe it, to Moshe Rabbeinu. Based on, obviously, the writings of Rishonim, who help us out, fill in all the missing details. And the truth is, every one of us is like that, because if your Rebbe is not Reb Binyamin Moskovich, then it's somebody else in our generation who learned from one of the big Rebbeim, who learned from one of the big Rosh Hashivas, who learned from the great Rebbeim of the previous day. That's always been our story. And therefore maybe that's why, that's the Midah Keneged Midah over here in this Kinah. But if you kill out the leader of Klal Yisrael, then you have to understand, not only is it a great tragedy and Bizoyin HaTorah, but you're also severing the whole chain of continuation and Mesoiris. Therefore, that's why one's children are also affected, because one's children is obviously the next link in the chain. That's why it absolutely is Midah Keneged Midah. I'll call upon a wife for just a brief Tisha B'Av thought. But back to our Gemara, so that's why he got very upset with them. You took a decision, but you never consulted. Why didn't you ask me? And indeed, the Tana, we're taught that v'shneim lo yitziu shnasam. Would you believe it? The two of them did not actually see out the rest of the year. One because he mocked his friend, and one because he didn't consult with his Rebbe. Now, at the end of the day, we do, however, have a machlokes, whether the Rebbe got upset or not, but certainly we seem to have a machlokes between the Mavorech and the Malagleg, the one who made the Brocha and the Mocha. So the Gemara suggests, remember this is how we introduced it, Neima, my love, b'hokom miflegi. Wouldn't it be true to say that this is the Machloikas, the Mavorech Sovar, the one who made a Brocha, obviously holds that Shlokois or Pargiois, Shehakoil, Nie, Bidvaroi. That's why this story is relevant to us, because what? Because he must have held, the Gemara suggests that, what's the bracha on Shlokois? The bracha is Shehakoil. If the bracha is Shehakoil, so then, Hilkoch Choviv Odif. Well, therefore, Chaviv would win the day. Because you have two shahakoils. In fact, you've got three shahakoils. So for there's nothing to distinguish them based on which bracha they are, because they're all the same bracha. So what's left? You go to now to the next criteria, which is
preference.
And it happens to be that he had a preference for the bossa, because like the Rebbe said, he hadn't had bossa for years or ever. Umalagleik sovar, but the one who mocked him must have held that no. Shloka is his boyer priyadomo. Pargia is a shakal nebidvori. Hilkoch peyrodif. He must have held that what, and that's why he mocked him, and he said that what? That really, Shlokos, what's the bracha on Shlokos? Bar Priyadoma. Therefore, the whole Chaviv issue is irrelevant. Because Chaviv is only relevant when you have nothing to divide them with regard to the brachas are all the same. But if you hold that Shlokos is not Shahakel, but rather Shlokos is Bar Priyadoma, then that's why he mocked him. What on earth are you going to Chaviv for? Chaviv doesn't play any role. So it seemed to be that what we've been discussing, the whole Omud, what's the bracha on Shlokos, is actually a machlokas tanoim. So remember, like we said before, whenever you have a name of a tanoi, you've always got to look out for a loy. Says the Gemara, loy, here it is. De kula alma Shlokos upargioi shakol nibidvorim. It could well be that everybody holds that Shlokos is shakol nibidvorim. That's not the point of debate. So what is the point of debate? Mar sovar choviv odif, umar soviv kruv odif, why design? The machlokes is not what bracha you make on the shlokes. Sorry? I missed that line? Again. The kula alma shlokes upargiyois shahakol nebidvori. V'hoch, however, over here, do you know what they're debating? Not which bracha you make, but Baha'i Svara Komiflagi. They're debating the following Svara. What are they saying? Mar Sava Chavivadiv, Mar Sava Krudoviv, the Zion. So the Mavarech obviously held that what's Adiv?
Pargis.
Chaviv, Pargis. And the Malagleg held that no, you're right that all the brachas are Shahakoil. If that doesn't divide them, but what we're going to have to look is at some other factor that will divide them, but I don't look at Chaviv, I look at whatever satiates you most, and that's Kruv, and that's why he mocked him. So we don't have a right.
Not sure.
Says the Gemara Omar Rav Zeira, Ki Avinun Bei Rav Huna, when I was by Rav Huna, Omalon Hani Gargalidi Delifta. These turnip heads, parminu, if you cut them, prima rabba, if it's a big cutting, peripri adoma. Prima zutta, small cutting, it means into small pieces, shakol nibidvori. V'chios on lebei Rav Yehuda, Amalene said, no, idi v'idi peripri adoma, there's no difference, v'haide parminu tvei, that which I cut them into smaller pieces is just in order, kiechi, in order to num tiktame, in order to sweeten the taste. Omer Avashi ki avinon bei Rav Kahano. When we were by Rav Kahano, Omalom tafshila de salka. De loy mafshu by kumcha. The salka stew, which did not have so much kemach in it, bei priyadomo. But the lifter, the mafshu bo kemcha, it does have a lot of flour in it, tfei, a lot, bei mne mizinus. But, fahoda oma, no. Idi vidi, bei priyadomo. Vahai de shodi bo kimcha, tfei. The fact that you put more flour in it is just for practical reasons. L'devuki ba'alma avdi le. He's just doing it just in order that it should stick together. But that's not enough to make the food mazinus. Omer avchista tavshil shel taradin. Yofel lelei v'toiv le'inayim v'kol shekein le'bnei ma'ayim. It's good for your heart, good for the eyes, and obviously for the stomach. Omer abai v'hu de yosiv abei topi. That's only if it was sitting on the top of the pot, va'ovit toich toich, and it was really boiling until such time that you can hear it bubbling, as it were, saying the words, as it were, toich toich toich. Now, omer apopa pshita li, it's obvious to me that maya de silka kesilka, or maya de lifta kelifta, or maya de kulu shalki, and the water of all cooked vegetables is kukuli shalki. Remember, we saw a very, very important Tosis over here. Tosis says, what do you mean it's pshita? We learned a daf ago that fruit juice is shakoil. So what's the difference? Tosis just says, yesh l'chalik. One can differentiate. So we said the difference is, apparently, because when you cook up vegetables or fruits with water, so the water actually receives the taste of the original. And that's what the Gemara is telling us. Therefore, it has the bracha of the original. But when you simply have apple juice, you have apple, and you have the juice which is trapped in the apple, and now you have the juice taken out of the apple, but it doesn't actually have the taste of the original apple. Bo'ir of Papa Maya de Shivta. What about Maya de Shivta, which is also a vegetable that's cooked up in a water, as she said? Or in a kadeira. What's that there for? What's the Shivta there for? Lumutuki Taima Ovdi? Is it there just to, is it indeed there to give taste? In which case the brocha on the liquid would be the same. Or maybe it's there just to get rid of bad taste. Getting rid of bad taste or bad smell is not the same as giving positive taste. So we bring a rhyme. Toshima, it says in the Mishnah in Uktzin, HaShabbos Mishnah Nosnotam B'Kedeira. This Shabbos, this vegetable that we're talking about, once it gives taste in the Kedeira, Ein Bo Mishum Truma, is no longer subject to the status of Truma. Why? It's no longer a food, it's lost all its taste. Ein Matama Tumas Eichlin. Shma Minos. What do I hear from there? That Lemetuki Taima of the Lei Shma Minos. So obviously, if it says quite clearly that Mishnos Notam, so obviously its function was, as it stated, to give taste and not just to remove bad taste. Once it's given the taste and the taste has all been extracted from it, so therefore it's no longer considered food. And if it's no longer considered food, now the halachas of Truma apply to it, Tumas Oichlin doesn't apply to it. The last sugya that we learned, and with this we finish the Zman. Omar Rav Chiya Ba'ashi, pas tsunuma bekara. If you have dried bread, put in a kara, a slice of bread, mvorchen olav amoitzi. Upligid Rav Chiya, Omar Rav Chiya, no, tzorech shetich lebrocha, im apas. Keyword being im. You have to finish the brocha with the pas, meaning with the whole pas. Sounds like it's saying that what? If, however, the bread is already sliced, then you've missed the boat. If you remember, Tosa said that's not literal, because of course you make a bracha on sliced bread. So it was together with a loaf, and the question was, which one do you make a bracha on? Maskiv lo Rava. Rava says, one second, I don't understand. What does this business mean? What do you mean when you say that you have to complete the bracha with the cutting of the bread? I don't understand. My shnot snuma deloi. What is the reason? Why would you want to say that it's snuma? A slice of bread does not get a bracha of amoytzi lechem laaretz. Why? Mishum dechi kalia bracha, because when you finish the bracha, prusa ko kalia, because you finished it over a prusa, and we are insistent that what? That you finished the bracha over a sholem. I don't understand. Al hapas nami. Ki ko gomra, prusa gomra. Even on bread, which is not a slice, even if it's a sholem, but what do you maintain? Do you start making the bracha as you finish it, as you finish slicing, which means that at the end of the day, what are you making a bracha on? Also sliced bread, so I don't get it. What have you achieved by saying, no, slice is too late. Ela Omar Rava, I will do it afterwards. Mevarech ba'achakach boitzea. I would first, therefore, make a bracha, and only then cut it. Remember, you saw in Tosfos, cut it means separate the slice from the bread, but certainly you should make a little bit of a cut before so as not to get involved in Hesach Hadas. Remember, we pointed out, we looked in the loch, I said generally maybe it's not so neger, we just have a piece of a roll. But the very next day I was at a bris on Tuesday morning, and lo and behold, what do they bring to the top table? A big challah for the Baal Bris. This is absolutely neger halacha l'maisa, unless he's just going to break off a piece and eat it, which is not very becoming. So what's he going to do? He's going to slice. So we saw halacha l'maaseh. We said that at least if it's weekday, what should you do? You should make quite a serious incision. Not so big. Remember, the Shulchan Aruch says it can't be that big. It's got to be big that if you hold it, the whole thing won't fall apart. But 10%, 20%, whatever you will be. then you make a bracha, and then you complete the cut. We said on Shabbos it's different. On Shabbos you shouldn't cut it before. Why not? Because we're too concerned. What are we concerned? Maybe your hand will slip and it'll fall and end up making a bracha not on Lechem Mishnah. We did, however, see that the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shabbos says, V'yesh medak tekin. It's not brought in the Shulchan Aruch at all, or in the Ramah. Some people make a little bit of an incision, but remember, it's only a medak tekin, it's not me'ikar adin. And if you remember, we said last time, if it ends up, meaning that you're going to end up an hour looking for the little cut, where did I slice his bread, then you've defeated the whole purpose. The whole purpose was to cause less Hesach Hadas. Naharadoy of the Karabchia, Virabonon of the Karabas with Machlaikas, what are you supposed to do? There seem to be different schools of thought with regard to what is Halacha Lamaisa. Do you make the bracha afterwards or as you finish it? Omer Avina, Omer Li Aim, your mother said, Avucha of the Karabchia, your father did like Rabchia, the Omar Rabchia, Zorach Shetichle Bracha Im Hapas. And yet Virabonon of the Karava. Vehilchasa, what is the final analysis? And this, as I mentioned, is what we pask in Halacha. Vehilchasa karava dom mavarich v'achakach boitzea. Indeed, we make a bracha, and only after that do we cut the bread. As we mentioned before, like Tosis pointed out, you should make a little bit of a cut before. Boitzea doesn't mean you begin the cutting, it means you separate the slice from the bread, but you've already partially cut it before. Okay, Baruch Hashem. This man, we covered quite a bit of ground. If I'm not mistaken, 4.5 daf. Lamed Hey, Lamed Vov, Lamed Zam, Lamed Ches. Half of Lamed Tes, 4.5 daf, which is pretty good pace. But even more exciting for me is that we did all the tesis in. I think maybe with the exception of one, which is a big move, including the long tesis in. And that will be'ez Hashem be the plan, I hope, from now on in. If you look throughout this perek, almost without exception, maybe one or two, the Tosfim are all short. We get a little bit scared sometimes when we see a long, big, scary Tosfos. Those are a little bit frightening. But the ones in this parak are pretty much short. So Tosfos like that, it's a bit scary. But we don't have any Tosfim like that. Al Kolponim, Be'ez Hashem, we will reconvene, all being well, after everyone's had a bit of a break. Recharge the batteries and charge the time for Elul, Mitzvah Hashem. Rosh Hashanah is less than 2 months away, I'll have you know. Rosh Chodesh Elul is less than 1 month away. So Be'ez Hashem, if I'm not mistaken, Rosh Chodesh Elul is Shabbos Sunday, which means Aleph Av is a Sunday. We will reconvene Be'ez Hashem on that Tuesday, Gimel Elul. Abo Aleinu L'Teva, starting a new sugya. It's a big sugya, and Bli Neda, I think there will be Maram Mekremis in the new sugya. I'll try and send that out before the end of summer vacation. Is that in time for the news month? We'll all be ready to recharge. Shkoyach, everybody.
Shkoyach.
Keeping the shir going. Be'ez Hashem. Baruch Hashem.